Let's move to the AI segment, and I want to start with the piece that got 286 comments on HN, Martin Alderson's essay on GLM 5.2 and what he's calling the coming AI margin collapse. The core argument is one that anyone who's been watching GPU economics has been building toward. Frontier model inference is becoming commoditized faster than the major labs can build moats around it, and GLM 5.2 from Jipu AI is the latest data point in that story.
For listeners who aren't tracking the Chinese AI lab landscape closely, Jipu O is a Beijing-based company that spun out of Tsinghua University, and their GLM series has been competitive with Western frontier models at a fraction of the training cost. GLM 5.2 apparently achieves benchmark performance within striking distance of GPT-40 class models on several coding and reasoning tasks, and Jipu has been aggressive about pricing. The argument Alderson is making is that when you have Chinese labs able to produce near-frontier performance at dramatically lower cost, the pricing umbrella that OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google have been sheltering under starts to collapse.
From a pure business economic standpoint, this is a classic two-sided commoditization story. On one side, you have open-weight models, Llama, Mistral, DeepSeek, that let technically sophisticated customers run inference on their own infrastructure, eliminating the per-token payment entirely. On the other side, you have competitive API providers like Jipu and various inference-as-a-service players who can undercut on price because they've optimized their cost structure differently. The major Western labs are getting squeezed from both directions.
The HN comments on this piece were particularly good because several people with direct experience at inference companies pushed back on the most aggressive version of the thesis. The counterargument is that price competition in AI APIs is real, but it's happening at the commodity tier, generic text generation, basic summarization, while the high-margin applications are in areas where reliability, safety tuning, enterprise integrations, and regulatory compliance create genuine switching costs. A hospital system isn't going to switch from a certified, audited clinical AI to a cheaper Chinese origin model because the API costs dropped 20%.
That's true, but I'd add a caveat. The enterprise switching cost argument has been used to defend incumbent premiums in software markets many times before, and it has a tendency to hold until it suddenly doesn't. The question is how long the reliability and trust moat can hold when the underlying model capability gap narrows. If GLM 5.2 is genuinely within 10% on benchmark performance and the price difference is 50%, that's a calculation that enterprise procurement teams will eventually run.
Connecting to another story in today's lineup, the IEEE Spectrum piece on small AI models gaining traction in low connectivity environments is a really important counterpoint to the frontier model obsession that dominates most AI coverage. The specific use case in the article is pharmaceutical applications in regions with unreliable network infrastructure, sub-Saharan Africa, rural Southeast Asia, parts of Latin America. Small language models that can run entirely on device are enabling things like drug interaction checking and dosage guidance in clinic settings where you simply cannot rely on a cloud. API call returning in under 2 seconds.
This is a market that the frontier model labs have essentially ignored, and it's large. The WHO estimates roughly 3.5 billion people live in areas with inadequate healthcare infrastructure, and a meaningful subset of that population has access to a mobile device even when they don't have reliable internet. The edge inference market for healthcare alone could be substantial, and it's being built on models that are measured in megabytes, not billions of parameters.
Which leads naturally to Turnlight. This is the ShowHN project that caught my attention because it's doing something technically elegant. A 7-megabyte embedding model that runs entirely in the browser via WebAssembly. No server, no API key, no data leaving the user's device. The demo is running semantic search over arbitrary text entirely client-side. The HN comments were enthusiastic about the privacy implications. If you can do meaningful semantic understanding at 7 megabytes in WASM, that's a genuinely different privacy model than anything that requires a round trip to an API.
7 megabytes. My first hard drive in 1994 was smaller than that, and here we are doing machine learning in a browser tab.
The compression and quantization techniques that have made this possible over the last 3 years are remarkable. Turnlight is using a combination of aggressive quantization, probably 4-bit weights, and a relatively shallow architecture optimized specifically for embedding tasks rather than generative tasks. It's not going to write you a sonnet, but for semantic search, classification, and similarity matching, it performs well enough to be genuinely useful.
Now let's talk about the Anthropic research paper that landed today, A Global Workspace in Language Models. This got 389 points and 148 comments, which for a research paper is significant engagement. Sarah, this is more in your technical lane.
The global workspace theory has a long history in cognitive science. It was originally proposed by Bernard Bars in the 1980s as a model for how consciousness might work in biological brains. The idea is that the brain has specialized modules, vision, language, motor control, and a global workspace that acts as a broadcast medium, allowing information from any module to become globally available to all other modules. It's one of the leading theoretical frameworks for understanding what we mean by awareness in a cognitive system. What Anthropic's researchers are claiming is that they've found structural evidence for an analogous global workspace mechanism in large language models. There are representations in the intermediate layers of the network that appear to integrate information across different input modalities and reasoning types in a way that resembles the broadcast function of Bars's workspace. The paper is careful not to claim this means language models are conscious. That would be a much larger claim than the data supports, but the structural analogy is provocative.
The HN comments ranged from genuinely excited researchers to fairly sharp skepticism. The skeptical camp was pointing out that finding a structural pattern that resembles a theoretical cognitive model doesn't validate the theory. It might just mean the theory was loosely enough specified that you can find it anywhere. The enthusiastic camp was arguing this has real engineering implications. If you understand which layers and which representations serve this integration function, you can potentially intervene more precisely in model behavior.
The engineering implication I found most interesting in the comments was around interpretability. One of the hardest problems in AI safety is understanding what a model is actually thinking about when it produces an output. If there's a global workspace structure, a place where information from different processing streams converges, that might be a more tractable intervention point than trying to interpret the full residual stream. It's a thread worth following as the safety research community engages with this paper.